right. Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can turn over to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 is where we'll be this morning. And this morning we're going to be talking about something that really we're all guilty of at one time or another. And that is coming up with ideas that we think are good, but in reality, and when we take the time to think about them, they probably aren't the best of ideas. And we're going to see this morning how God protects his people, both here in Genesis and even us. He protects us from our own bad ideas. And I'm thankful that, I saw something a couple months ago now that basically said to the effect that when God put a calling on our life, he took into account our own stupidity. And, that's true that, sometimes we have the best intentions, but the Lord knows we kind of need some direction and some guidance. So that's what we're going to see this morning from Genesis chapter 11. And so we're there. Who'd like to read verses 1 through 9 this morning? Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Katie, go ahead.
And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly." And they had made brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, "Go to, let us build a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, "Behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. And now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound the language of all the earth, and from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of all the earth.
All right. Thank you there, Katie. And so this morning, of course, we want to talk a little bit and look at the Tower of Babel this morning. And the first thing we see from verses 1 through 4 is man's clever confederation, their clever plan that they came up with. And there in verse number 1, we see there the Bible tells us, "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." So at this time, all the people spoke the exact same language. All the people, kind of like, we're here today. You can understand what I'm saying. I can understand what you're saying because I'm speaking English. You're speaking English. Now, if somebody started speaking Spanish, I probably wouldn't know what on earth you were saying. Or if you started speaking Chinese or, whatever the case may be, I'd have no clue what you're saying, as I'm sure most other people in the room here wouldn't have an idea. But just to ask questions, does anyone actually speak another language? A little bit?
Mm-hmm.
A little Spanish there. And so, no one speaks like a full, like fluent in another language. We're all English speakers for the most part, right? Okay, so. What?
Hillbilly?
Well, I don't know if that. I don't know if that's a language, but here we see all the people, they spoke the same language. So that means they were kind of all on the same page. But then verses 2 through 3, we see that a large group of these people, they began to settle and they begin to build in one place. And then there in verse 4, they developed a plan to make themselves safe. They developed a plan to make themselves powerful. And you see there, it says, "Let us build a city and a tower." And so this tower was for their safety, was for their protection, but also to give them that power over those that would be beneath them. And then verses 5 and 6, we see God gives them a very concerned observation. So in verse 5, God, he goes down, he goes to see what it was they're doing. And then in Verse number 6, God in his wisdom knows that their plan would not be exactly what they wanted it to do, but it would just cause pain, it would cause destruction, it would cause heartache, it would cause sorrow. And you see there, verse number 6, the Bible says, and the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. And so God, he sees what they're doing. And, you know, just like with us sometimes, he sees what we're doing. He knows what we're doing. And, you know, he has some concerns. He has some reservations, if we can put it that way, about what exactly they're doing. And then there in verses 7 and 9, we see God provides to them a very merciful solution. In verse 7, he instantly divides them by changing their language. And in verse 8, we see that their inability to communicate forced them to now abandon their plan. And now the plan and event in verse 9, it's forever known as Babel. And so as we see the plan that the people are seeking to implement here, we see in Romans 10:10, the Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So these 9 verses teach us several things this morning, just about people in general and about our plans. And there's an old saying that says, basically, man plans and God laughs. You know, we come up with our own plans and our ways of doing things, and you know, God looks down sometimes and says, yeah, you know, that's a good plan, but I have something better. And my plan is going to be the one that ultimately succeeds. But we see several things. Number one, we see that foolish plans are born when we lose sight of our God-given purpose. Foolish plans are born when we lose sight of our God-given purpose. Now, a couple weeks ago, we looked at Noah. And if you remember, God had instructed Noah, he had instructed his sons to fill the earth after the flood. And so he tells them what? Go forth and multiply. And this was their great purpose. In fact, go back if you would, Genesis chapter 9. Genesis chapter 9. And who would like to read there verses 1 and 7? Genesis chapter 9, verses 1 and 7. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Genesis 9, verses 1 and 7. And God blessed Noah and his sons, and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth. Verse 9.
Yep.
And I behold, I establish my covenant with you, and with your seed after you.
All right, so we see here, this is their purpose. Now after the flood is come and gone, and so their purpose now is to replenish the earth. This was their charge from God. This was their mission from God. And it was their duty to make that their great focus. And in anything that God gives us to do, that ought to be our great focus. That ought to be what we put our time into. That ought to be what we put our effort into. That ought to be what we put our focus and our energy into. And God allowed Noah and his sons to live many years after the flood to see to it that this charge was fulfilled. But now, again, if you know anything about the account of Noah and about the flood, you know Nimrod, Noah's great-grandson. He lost sight of God's purpose for man. And that's why he came up with the idea of gathering in one place instead of filling the earth. And so God gave them the plan. Okay, go forth and multiply. And now Nimrod comes forth and he says, nope, you know what we're going to do? Instead of going forth and multiplying, we're just going to gather all in one place and we're going to have our own little gathering together here, and that's what we're going to do. Now, the only problem with that is that's not what God told them to do. God told them, go forth and multiply, and they were doing now the opposite of what God had told them to do. And so we see that foolish plans are born when we lose sight of our God-given purpose. That's what the people did. They lost sight of what God's purpose for their life was, and then they started coming up with their own plans and their own plans. You know, they were just foolish plans. And so, but then secondly, we see it is possible for a good man to have a bad idea. It is possible for a good man to have a bad idea. You know, great men are not always wise. Great men are not always wise. Go over with Job chapter 32. Job chapter 32. And who would like to read there? Verse number 9. Job chapter 32 and verse number 9. Miss Martha, go ahead.
Great men are not always wise, neither do the aged understand judgment.
All right, and so we see now Nimrod, he was such a man. He was a man of great character. He was a strong leader. He was a provider. And to some extent, he pleased God in these things by being a man of great character, by being this strong leader, by being a provider. But go back, if you would, Genesis chapter 10. Genesis chapter 10, and who'd like to read there verses 8 and 9? Genesis chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. Miss Sue, go ahead.
And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord, where it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord.
All right, thank you there. And so we see here, again, great man. He was a man that, you know, the Lord probably found and was pleased in some of the things that he did, but it was still imperative that Nimrod seek the Lord before he introduced this new idea to those who were under his influence. And those who were under his influence should have also sought the Lord for themselves and not simply just accepted his idea because he was a good man. And so, you know, you can... You know, you can be a wise man, you can be a great man, but, you know, you can be the wisest man that ever lived, and you can still come up with a bad idea. And, you know, we're all guilty of that. You know, we try, I think, to think things through and to you know, the Bible tells us to count the cost. The Bible tells us to, you know, be wise when we're making a decision. I think we try to do that for the most part, but there are those certain situations where, you know, we kind of get ahead of ourselves and we get so, I think we get so enamored with an idea that we think, oh, nothing can go wrong. This is going to work. And then guess what happens? It's not a good idea and it doesn't work. And so we need to be careful of that. And so it's possible for a good man to have a bad idea. And then number three this morning, we see that it does not take mankind long to forget the lessons of the past. It does not take mankind long to forget the lessons of the past. What's the old saying? Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. And well, we see that here. Nimrod was the founder of the city of Babel. Look there, Genesis chapter 10 and verse number 10. The Bible says, in the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, and Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And so we see here, he was the founder of the city of Babel. His grandfather was Ham, and his great-grandfather was Noah, both of whom saw the world destroyed for ignoring God's way. And so both Ham and Noah, they were still living when Nimrod decided to introduce this plan regarding Babel. And though they may not have been present necessarily to see the organizing of the city and to see the building of the tower, Nimrod should have gone to whatever lengths necessary to, you know what, consult them before pursuing such a plan of that he had here. But instead of doing that, just two generations away from the flood, and that's very important to remember, that they're two generations away from the flood, Nimrod introduces a plan that is a complete departure from God's plan. God's plan was to go forth and multiply. This was God's plan after the flood, after destroying the world because of mankind's sinfulness and because they were doing things their own way. And here they are now, just two generations removed. And they're already back now to doing things or trying to do things their way. And so many people, they were guilty of the same thing. They worked together to create this plan. You're there, Genesis chapter 11. And notice there again, verse 3. The Bible says, "And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar." And so we see here, it does not take mankind long to forget the lessons of the past. They were just two generations removed, and here they are again, going down the same road. And then number four, we see this morning that they thought they were that by working together, they could come to the place where they no longer needed God. And this is the most dangerous part of all. Look there, if you would, Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 4. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible says, "And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." And so we see here, and really, mankind has always had this fascination that with manpower and with organization, that somehow, as mankind, we can somehow make God irrelevant. Somehow we can, you know, do things without God. That's what they were doing here. You notice there it says, you know, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. So they were basically trying to reach heaven. They were trying to reach God all on their own. And that really sounds like our modern day religions today, doesn't it? You know, people are trying to work their way to heaven, work their way to God, when God has already said through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And so we see here that they have always thought they could make God irrelevant. They think they can make God unnecessary. And, you know, when we look at it, we find that the devil himself, Satan, he is the author of this lie. He is, and the prophecy reveals that he believes it himself. You know, you go over and you read in Isaiah, the fall of Lucifer. And, you know, he talks about there in Isaiah, you know, the five I ams of Satan. I will ascend to the Most High. I will, I will, I will. And so we see that he thought that he could do it without God. And he found out very quickly he couldn't do it without God. And, you know, sometimes our detriment, we find out very quickly we can't do things without God. We need God's help every step of the way, each and every day that we go along. And so, you know, no matter how great our plans are, we still need God. We still need the Lord. And then fifthly and finally this morning, we see, and this is, while we said that number four is perhaps the most devastating, this is the most encouraging part of it, is that God's mercy prevents us from getting ourselves into more trouble. God's mercy prevents us from getting ourselves into more trouble. You're there, Genesis chapter 11. Notice there again, verses 6 through 8. Genesis chapter 11, verses 6 through 8. The Bible says, "And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city." So now, they went against God's plan. They went against what God's purpose was for their life. And now God very well could have destroyed them in judgment. But God, in his mercy, did not do that. He did not destroy them in judgment. He did not physically pick them up and move them to different locations. No, all he did was simply introduce a circumstance that made it very easy for them to make the decision to give up their own plans. And this was an act of mercy on God's part. And when God brings circumstances into your life to make it easy to make the right decision, that's him showing us his great love. Because God, he's always going to give us that choice. All right, you can either keep on the way you were going, or here's the choice I'm giving you, and which choice are you going to make? And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll have enough wisdom as Christians to say, okay, we're going to take the road that God has given to us to make. And so we see here that the Tower of Babel, it was man's plan. It wasn't God's plan. And in his mercy, he helped them to make a decision that would spare them judgment, to spare them any humiliation, so to speak. And so as we think about, you know, going forth with our life and looking over our life and the things God would have us to do, you know, we can probably look back over our lives and see, you know, how many times did God save us from ourselves, right? How many times did God, you know, we were going to make a, you know, a boneheaded decision, and God was there to step in and help us make not the boneheaded decision, but the right decision at the end of the day. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to consider the options, and he wants us to say, okay, are we going to follow our plan, or are we going to follow his plan for our life? And the more we follow his plan, again, because here the people, they were making this plan for a purpose, to keep themselves safe and to keep themselves powerful. But in doing so, it would be shutting God out. And then they wouldn't have been safe or powerful at all, because God would not be there looking over them. But with God, and if we have God, then we are safe, and we are protected, and we are powerful. You know, because, you know, it's been said that, you know, you plus God equals majority. Well, guess what? Just God alone equals majority. You know, he doesn't need us, but, you know, praise the Lord, he sees fit to use us, and he sees fit to have us as part of the fellowship with himself. And so, you know, next time you're thinking about, you know, the plans that you have, and, you know, take the time to ask, well, okay, are these God's plans, or are they my plans, or, and are they shutting God out? And if they're shutting God out, go the opposite way, where God is included in those plans. And so let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dismiss to the morning service this morning.